you have your Bible, please open with me to John chapter 15, if you have your Bible with you this morning. The words will be up on the screen, but if you have your Bible, I encourage you to open up to that. John 15, the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John. I'm going to read John chapter 15, starting right at the beginning, verse 1. Jesus says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you could do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." We have spent the past few months, I look back, it's been since January, it's been a long time, past few months considering a vision for discipleship that really is discipleship as apprenticeship to Jesus, being his apprentices. And what it looks like to apprentice to Jesus by being with him, becoming like him and doing as he did. And as we bring this series that we've been in for a long time, we bring it to a close this morning, I just first wanted to thank you all for your engagement with this. It's been a long series. There's been a lot of different ideas. There's been some challenging things and hopefully some encouraging and convicting things. But I just want to thank you for your engagement with this and your response to what we've been learning. I've just had a couple really good conversations, a couple really encouraging texts with people who are trying out a new practice, or people who have questions about how to go deeper with one of the things that we've been looking at, and just the response has been really encouraging. And so I just want to thank you for engaging with this. It's been a lot. It's been kind of long. So I just thank you for engaging with it. And in this series, we've covered many different topics, again, around this idea of apprenticeship to Jesus. And today, as we close, I really want to address the question of, with everything we've looked at, kind of like, so what? What are we going to do with any of this? Will this be one of dozens of sermon series that we've heard before, and it's like, oh yeah, I remember that from last year, and Are we going to do something with some or all of this? And that's my hope, that after learning for 3 months about following in Jesus' way, talking about specific practices that welcome the Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives. We talked about receiving healing from God from our hurts, forgiveness from God through confession and repentance, all in the context of community. As we talk throughout all these things, my hope is that we actually would do something with this. And so today is sort of the next step, so what do we do with some of this kind of message, culminating in everything we've looked at. And as we started in John 15, Jesus says some really important things. And every single word that he said in that passage is important, but there's a couple highlights that what he said to the disciples. I am the true vine, remain in me, and if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So there's a command in here. There's a kind of a conditional statement. If you remain in me, this will happen. It's a powerful passage and calling that Jesus gives us. And to start off this morning, I want to show you a couple pictures of Jesus is talking about. The image he's giving is that of really a grapevine. And I want to show you some pictures of some grapevines or vineyards, and as you look closely at these, I want you to tell me what all these pictures have in common. There's something specific that I want you to try to really zoom in as you go through them, And see, what do all of these different vines, what is something they have in common? Something specific. And not just that it's green or they're outside or that they're grapes. Like, what is something that you notice in all of these vines and all of these vineyards that kind of share a common characteristic? So just take it. Some of you are more quick to get it than others. So let's give 15 seconds. But Wendy, I'm going to go back to you. They have been pruned. They've been tended to and pruned. Okay, Wendy, what did you say? They're growing upward. They're in a straight line. There is sort of like, they're not just kind of a pile of vines. It is sort of a, you can tell, they're rows. It looks like a farm. There's purposefulness to it. There's fruitfulness on it. There's fruit to it. So there's a lot of things they share in common. Really, what I was kind of aiming for, though, is what Wendy introduced. Everything that you said is true. But in all of these, the grapes are built up, and they have an intentional support structure to them. They're all built up off the ground. They have either posts or fences or something that they're growing on that is keeping them in rows, keeping them so they're able to be pruned, able to be made more fruitful. They have a support structure that is built up, keeping them off the ground from getting stepped on, from getting eaten by animals, from whatever can happen in vineyards. I'm not, what's the word for a farmer of a vineyard? A vineyardist? I don't know. I'm not that, but I can see some pictures, and they all look the same to me. Some of you will tell me exactly what the word is after church, but all of these, they have a support structure that they are being grown and tended to and pruned with purposefulness and intentionality. In a similar way, to remain in the vine, to remain in Jesus and bear fruit as his disciples, I feel we need a support structure for our spiritual development. We need some kind of support that will keep us up, that will help with our pruning, that will help keep us much more fruitful than if we didn't have that structure. There's an author named Pete Scazzaro. It's kind of a hard last name to say. He wrote a book called Emotionally Healthy Discipleship. And Pete Scazzaro says this. He says, nurturing a growing spirituality with depth in our present day culture will require a thoughtful, conscious, intentional plan for our spiritual lives. Read this for just a second. And this is what I mean by we need a support structure. We need that kind of intentional plan in order for our spiritual development to deepen and grow. But I'm wondering, you know, why? Why do we need a structure? Why do we need a plan? Okay, because Jesus tells us in John 15, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And this doesn't happen by accident. This doesn't just happen. Transformation and growth as apprentices to Christ is possible, but it's not an inevitability. It's not something that just happens because we hope it happens. It's something we need to invest in and build that support structure. The famous passage that Paul writes to the Romans in Romans 12, he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, and so when we're considering apprenticeship, considering discipleship to Christ and the things that we might be tempted to conform to, the reality is that we're all formed by something. We're all being formed all the time by likely lots of different things, lots of different factors, healthy, some unhealthy. We're all formed by something. Okay, and we will either be intentionally formed in the way of Christ or unintentionally formed in the way of the world. Okay, we will either be intentionally formed in the way of Christ or unintentionally formed by the patterns of the world. Back to John 15. Again, Jesus says, remain in me. Remain in me. Abide in me. Remain in me. But the problem is that our culture, our world, the enemy is also yelling at us, no, remain in me. That, yeah, Jesus says, remain, yeah, forget that. No, remain in me. Remain here. Remain in your selfishness. Remain in your idolatry, the things that you've raised above Jesus. Stay there. Remain in your obsession over money and stuff and status and approval and all these things that are so much lesser than Jesus, but stay over here. Remain in me. Remain here is what the enemy is yelling at us too, through our culture, through lots of different means. And so we are fighting this battle against an enemy who is constantly at work in this fallen world and wants us as far away from the vine as possible, pulling us away from that. The opposite of what the enemy wants is for us to remain in Jesus, to remain connected to the vine. He wants us useless, tossed away, and thrown into the fire. He wants us gone. Remaining in Jesus, the vine, doesn't happen by accident. Just like our other relationships. Our other relationships don't develop in a healthy way by accident. Okay, if you won't become a committed, selfless, loving spouse by accident. That takes work. It takes a lot of learning throughout the years. Okay, you won't develop as a loving, Christ-like, supportive parent or grandparent or friend. Just that doesn't just randomly happen. In Romans 13, Paul writes this as just part of one verse. He says, "Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ." And I really like that imagery of physically, literally clothing yourself with Jesus. Because when you got dressed for church this morning, I want you to think about your process for getting dressed for church. I very highly doubt that you took your clean clothes out of the hamper or whatever you store it. Some of you is probably folded and stored in wherever you need to. But let's say you have a pile of clothes in the laundry basket. I doubt any of you just threw it in the middle of the room and just dove in and rolled around in the pile of clothes and just hoped that you would end up with something that's appropriate to wear to church. I highly doubt any of you did that. You at very least picked out what you were going to wear. Some of you ironed your clothes. Some of you laid it out the day before. Some of you just picked something out of the closet. Whatever you did, it wasn't just diving into your clothes, rolling around, and hoping for the best. Okay, that would be ridiculous and ineffective. You would show up to church and we'd have to have a conversation. It'd be weird. But so often, what's so weird is so often we have this calling to put on Christ, clothe yourselves with Christ, but so often we approach our growth in Christ, our remaining to the vine, with the vine, we approach our spiritual development as this random thing that's just going to happen. As we just hope for the best, and I'll dive into the clothes and I'll roll around a bit, blah, blah, blah. Don't really look any more like Jesus, because you're not really doing anything purposeful with that. It's not going to happen without some kind of structure or plan in place. We make a plan for the things we value and care about. The things that you value and that you care about, you have a plan to make it happen, to prioritize it. And most of you know I care about the Buffalo Bills. I care probably too much about the Buffalo Bills. We can have a separate conversation about that in another day. But you know that in September, when they start playing again, for that first game, for kickoff Sunday, I will have a plan for where I'm watching the game, what chair I'm sitting in, who I'm with, what we're having for lunch that day. There will be a plan for that first game because I care about that. The things that you care about, whether it's just an entertainment thing or something really important, you prioritize that. You have a plan for it. We make a plan for the things that we value and that we care about. And so if we care about remaining in Jesus, if we care about remaining in the vine, growing and developing as apprentices to Jesus, we need a plan. Again, it won't happen by accident. In the book, Practicing the Way, the author calls this plan or this support structure, he calls it a rule of life. It's just a different way of saying the same thing. It is our plan. It is our support structure for discipleship. He calls it a rule of life. It's this historical term that he uses. And he defines rule of life like this. John Mark Comer, he says, a rule of life is a schedule and set of practices and relational rhythms that creates space for us to be with Jesus, become like him, and do as he did, as we live in alignment with our deepest desires. It is a way of intentionally organizing our lives around what matters most, which is God. Our rule of life is all the things we intentionally incorporate to build our lives around Jesus. And some of these things happen every day. We have everyday habits that connect us with Jesus. We have more weekly rhythms. You're in one of those weekly rhythms right now as we gather in worship on Sunday morning. Some of these are weekly. Some are more maybe monthly or seasonally, less often, but they happen. But daily and weekly and seasonally, we need a plan for meeting with Jesus. We need that support structure for growth as disciples, or it very likely won't happen. And that's what a rule of life is, that support structure. I have a quick video that I want to show you that gives a specific example of what one aspect of building this structure, building this rule of life, what can this look like? So check out this video.
I discovered I had a rule of life, an unconscious rule of life, while I was working on this book, The TechWise Family, and it dawned on me, writing this book about technology and family life, that I had an absolutely ironclad practice every single day of walking downstairs when I got up in the morning, and the first thing I did was look at my phone. That's what you do in the morning, right? Look at your phone. And, you know, I'd be making tea, but even before the tea was finished, I'd let the glowing rectangle tell me whatever I needed to pay attention to. All the urgencies, all the outrages, all the demands, all the opportunities. And somehow, I had the presence of mind one morning to think, this cannot possibly be the best way to start my day. Because it would just instantly adrenalate me, you know? So I thought, well, what could I do instead that would be kind of a sufficient counter-discipline to this habit of picking up my phone every day? And I thought, you know what I ought to do is go outside. So I decided that every day, after making my tea, there's one habit I'm not going to give up, which is tea first, but I'd take my tea outside and just walk out the front door, stand outside just for a few moments, and just experience whatever the day had for me before I turned to the glowing rectangle. And the first 2 weeks that I was trying this, every day was a ridiculous spiritual battle. Like, this is not a complicated thing to do. And yet every morning it was like this phone, almost, I could almost sense like a voice calling to me from the little phone. Don't you need to check me? Don't you want to try me? And I'd have to resist and say, no, get behind me. I'm going outside first. 2 weeks in, I heard the voice, just like the days before, but something absolutely flipped. And instead of feeling temptation and allure, all I felt was revulsion and repulsion. Like, why would I invest in you this most beautiful first moment of my day rather than go out and be a creature in God's creation? And ever since I've done this, it is one of the most spiritually transformative things I've done with my life, probably in the last 10 years, maybe embarrassingly. Just step outdoors, whatever the weather is, wherever I am in the world. Sometimes I walk down flights and flights of stairs if I'm staying in a hotel or something, and just spend a moment being who I really am, which is a very small part of a very large world, rather than what I am on the screen, which is a very large part of a very small world. And it's been a gift to choose to be who I really am. And that's what our disciplines are for. That's what the real rule is for, is to choose to be who I know I am and want to be.
So that's author Andy Crouch. And notice what he said. His rule of life, his structure, his plan, involved saying no to his phone first thing in the morning and saying yes to being outside and meeting with God and his creation. And being on your phone first thing in the morning, I mean, I don't think, unless it is bad, but there's nothing inherently wrong or evil about checking the news or checking your email or responding to texts or whatever it is. But he felt this draw from God of, like, I've become obsessed with this thing. I need to get away from this. This needs to not be how I start my day. This is unhealthy for me. And he replaced it with a healthy habit of being outside in the quiet, in the silence, in the solitude for just a moment of meeting with God, allowing God to speak to him instead of, I love how he calls it, the glowing rectangle that dominates our lives. Okay, this is one of his daily practices, was starting his morning this way. This is one aspect of his rule of life. It's not the entire thing. Again, we need daily and weekly and monthly / seasonal practices and relational rhythms that make space for us to be with Jesus. In order to develop that, I just want to give us really quick 6 tips to get started with this, things that we can do. And the first one that I want to share with you comes right from this video testimonial. Okay, the first thing when we are developing this rule of life or building up this support structure for us to stay connected to the vine, the first thing is start small. First thing, start small. That's what Andy did in the video. He didn't say, I put my phone down and commit to praying for 2 hours before looking at my phone. He didn't say, I'm going to, you know, study the original New Testament Greek between 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. every morning before I do anything else. I mean, you can get there, and that's not bad. Maybe that's a goal to strive for, to have that time in the morning that is an hour or more. But he started by incorporating a small, joy-filled habit that connected him with God as opposed to obsession over the little handheld device that rules our lives. So in your rule of life, if this is a new thing for you, start small. If you don't already have a habit of daily reading scripture, start small. Start with 5 or 10 minutes a day, then build from there. Hey, don't begin with, you know, I'm going to read the entire Bible every single month. I'm going to get through the Bible. I'm going to read it 12 times this year. That can be an amazing goal for someday. But start small. Start with something. Number 2, think subtraction, not addition. This support structure rule of life is not meant to be an added to-do list that is another obligation on your already busy life. Start by considering maybe some of the things you need to let go of. For Andy, that was saying no to his phone first thing in the morning. That wasn't an additional thing, that was a subtraction. I felt convicted lately about being on my phone at night right before bed. I don't need to do this. This isn't making me any closer with Jesus. It's not healthy. Certainly not helping my sleep. I felt convicted about that, being on my phone right before bed. Okay, and so what are some of the time-wasting or unhealthy practices that you have right now that God is calling you to let go of? Number 3, take a balanced approach. Take a balanced approach. By this, I mean that some of the practices we looked at are done alone. Okay, solitude, you do that alone. Okay, sometimes you read scripture alone. You pray alone as well as you pray with others. But some of our practices are more individual, more solitary. Some of the practices intentionally involve others, service, community, generosity. So we have practices that we do alone and practices that we do with others. The balanced approach is making sure we have both. Okay, some of the practices involve us doing something. We're reading scripture. We're serving others. We're giving. We're in community. We're worshiping. We're praying. We're doing something. Some of the practices, though, involve slowing down and doing less. Prioritizing a Sabbath day, which is a day of rest unto the Lord. Incorporating solitude, which is saying no to other things, being away from people. Okay, so we should have those practices that are both doing something and letting go of other things to balance. And we're all different. We are all different. Don't just stick with the practices that are most comfortable for you and most in line with your personality. For some of you, silence and solitude will be natural and easy and comfortable. You do it all the time already. I stink at silence and solitude. I am a loud, social person. My mind takes a long time for it to quiet down and all the things I need to do that day and what I need to do tomorrow and what's going on and what that worry is, blah, blah, blah. Whew. It takes a while for my mind to slow down, for my mouth to slow down. Solitude is not comfortable for me. But I know it's something I need more of in my life, making me available to the presence of Jesus and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I can't just say, you know what, I'm an extrovert, so solitude isn't for me. We can't do that. Okay, so in line with that balanced approach, though, also consider your personality. Consider your personality and your season of life. If you are more extroverted or introverted, this is going to have an effect on your rule of life, your support structure. It's going to affect that. That's not bad. Just make sure there's a balance to it. But also, your season of life matters. We're all at different stages of life. Okay, if you have toddlers at home, spending an hour in silent prayer every morning might not be realistic. Your rule of life should be flexible and malleable and reflect your stage of life. If you are in your 70s and retired, life is very different from when you were in your 30s and working and having kids. It's just different. So take into account your season of life. 5, there is no formation without repetition. There is no formation without repetition. There is no formation without repetition. Apprenticeship to Jesus is not a quick, immediate, read a book, attend a seminar, hear a sermon, and then we're instantly excellent disciples kind of thing. Apprenticeship is long. It takes repetition. Okay, your rule of life is about developing new habits and new rhythms of behavior that are repeated that help us intentionally seek out Jesus. This will all take time. You may not feel any difference right away. We talked about fasting a couple weeks ago. Maybe some of you tried it and were like, I don't get it. That's okay. Try it again. I love how Andy shared in the video, the first 2 weeks of him staying away from his phone and just being outside with God was really hard. It took a while to develop that habit. So I'd encourage you to stick with what you decide to do for your support structure, what you decide to incorporate, stick with it and commit to it as an act of worship. Lastly, 6, do this in community. Okay, try to involve others with this. Even trying the practices with others. A couple weeks ago, one of you texted me saying, hey, can we try a fast together? And we did it together, and it was really cool. There was this kind of a unique blessing in fasting with someone at the same time. So involve others, involve your family, involve your spouse. Share your rule of life with your core. We talked about that last week. The core people you really, really trust to encourage you and keep you accountable. Share that with them. And for some of you, this, as we start to close, so for some of you, this whole series has kind of been a preaching to the choir kind of thing. That this is stuff you're doing already. You have a support structure. You have a rule of life. You know what the regular, you know, daily, weekly, seasonal rhythms are for you. I really am thankful for that. Hopefully you can help the rest of us. But for others, a lot of what we've studied is new and intimidating. And you'd say, I want to do this. I want to have that support structure. I want to be in it, this intentional apprentice to Christ, but I don't know what that looks like. I don't know where to start. Are there any tools that can help me get started? If that's you, I just want to give you a quick free resource that on the Practicing the Way website, it's practicingtheway.org/ruleoflifebuilder. This is a free resource that you can use to get you started with those daily, weekly, seasonal practices and building your support structure. Okay, this is not a commercial for this. This is a free resource. Use this if you feel the need to. Again, our rule of life is the plan and support structure for building our relationship with Jesus. Remaining in Christ doesn't happen by accident. We need a plan. So start small. That number one, start small. But start. Start with something. Start by lifting up to God in prayer, Lord God, what do I need to let go of? What do I need more of to remain in the vine, to remain close to you, Lord Jesus? We started by looking at the first section of John 15, where Jesus commands the disciples to abide in him, to remain in him. Later on in that same chapter, later on in John 15, Jesus says this. He says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Our support structure, our plan, our rule of life, whatever you prefer to call it, is about friendship with Jesus. It is not a formula. It is about friendship with Jesus. This is not a concise little documented formula. This is about a relationship. This is about friendship to Jesus, where Jesus calls us his friends. We are his friends that he laid down his life to save. And so that is my prayer, that we would not see our rule of life, again, as a burdensome religious to-do list, but rather the things we prioritize to meet with Jesus, our Lord, our King, and our friend. So starting small, let's make a plan for putting friendship with Jesus at the center of our lives. Let's pray together as the worship team closes us. Lord, we need your help with this. We are in a battle. The enemy wants us to have nothing to do with this. The enemy says, abide in me, abide in yourself, abide in your selfishness, while you say, no, abide in me. This is where true fruitfulness lasts. This is where true life is given. Lord, we've talked about so many things over the past several weeks. I pray that we would take time this week to start crafting the beginnings of a plan of prioritizing friendship with you in the rhythms we incorporate daily, weekly, and seasonally, so that you are glorified, so that we are built up, so we are not the dead branches on the ground that wither and die and get thrown away. We want fruitfulness in our lives for your glory. So Lord, enable us to do that. Show us what that looks like. And may we use our brothers and sisters around us as fellow supports as we build our own support structure of growth in you. All this is for you and for your glory, Lord Jesus. So guide us in your truth and in your grace, we pray. In your name, amen.